Well, it is great to be able to share with you today. Hope you've liked this series that we've been going through, talking about what would Jesus tweet. And I got to be honest, probably more about my age than anything else. I'm still not quite sure what that means, what Jesus would tweet. Joey's tried to explain it to me several times, and he says, I'm not going to explain it anymore. I guess it's a way to communicate in today's culture, and I'm kind of a dinosaur. I've moved beyond that, I guess. I don't know. But we've been working through this series, basically looking at the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the scriptures from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, when Jesus was just teaching his disciples and ended up teaching multitudes along the way. It's been really a fun series, I thought, especially as we start looking at when we started out talking about the Beatitudes. Blessed is the poor in heart. Blessed, you know, going through all these. And then Jesus explains who those people are, what they're like. Last week, and again, I'm glad Greg's not here today because I don't want to say this because, you know, being a younger man, maybe it would puff up his head a little bit too much. He did a great job, I believe, last week sharing with us the Lord's Prayer, praying through the Lord's Prayer. And I, honestly, what we do is we're going to see in these scriptures from here through the end of Matthew 7, Jesus explaining in greater detail, the Lord's Prayer, how it's lived out in us, how God takes care of us. I'm excited about this scripture because way back a long time ago, this scripture, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, was kind of the scripture that God gave my wife and I. We were just getting into ministry. Back in 1987, and this was the scripture he gave us, and it just spoke so much to us. I thought what I might do is some of you I've known quite a long time. Clarence, I've known you probably the longest out of anybody here, and it's a good long time, probably since 88 or 89, somewhere around in there, some 24, 25 years or more I've known him. Some of you I met today. You know, so we don't have a long history. And you may not know a whole lot about my story. So I thought, since this scripture is really a scripture God has given me and my family, I'm going to just share a little bit about my story with you as it relates to the story that God has done in my life, that hopefully it relates to your story in your life as well. Unlike most of you, I was really born, you know, at a very young age. You know, I was about 10 when I was, no. That was supposed to be funny. This is going to be an awful long time through today if you don't laugh at things that you think that I mean to be funny. I don't care if you think they're funny, just laugh anyway. It could be the most, thank you. Always can count on the sonofros for something like that, you know. Some of you are saying, give up your day job. Please, Jay, leave. No. But I was blessed to grow up in this family who loved Jesus. A mom and dad who knew the Lord and really had really come into a greater faith during my early childhood. Not that they didn't have faith before, but they really came into a greater faith during my childhood. I don't know if it was because of me that they had to have more faith. I don't know. But I grew up in that, you know? 1972, in August 1972, I came to know Jesus in a personal way and really experienced the fullness of his power. It was pretty amazing. As a young boy, 9 years old, I know some of you are doing the math. 1972, 40, 63. Wow, he looks amazing to be 51. Wow, man, no. That was a joke, too. Man, I'm just, wow. You know, we're going to have to stop being Baptist here, get some good wine in here to loosen you guys up a little bit, have a little communion first. I don't know. So I came to know Jesus as a young boy. But I remember this day, I remember the time, it was around midnight on April 15th. I remember because it was tax day, 1983. God got me alone, and he said to me, he goes, Jay, what are you going to do? You know my ways, you know the world's ways. What are you going to follow? And as a young man, 20 years old, I knew, I don't have, this isn't a choice. I've got to follow your ways. And really since then, I've been really looking to put God first, to follow, do what he wants me to do. Later on, almost a year later, in February of 84, I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip. We were members of a church in Colony, and we went to India. We went to Madras, India. And we went, and we were, the group I was with, we had three different groups, we were building a church and a medical center. And at night, we'd go out into the villages, and we'd share the gospel with people. I don't know what I caught, but here, I wasn't even 21, and I had this stuff start growing on my arm. It was a little red dot. There was a white circle around it. There was a red circle around it. There was another white circle around it and another red circle around that. And they got to be welts about like this big. And it started down by my wrist, and it started moving up my arm. And I was getting all these welts going up. And again, I'm thinking, this is it. I'm halfway around the world. I got something inside me. It's moving up my arm. It's going to hit my heart, and I'm going to die. I'm going to die in India. You know, that's really what I thought. And you know, I was scared. I invited the team of people to come around, and they laid hands on me. They were praying for me. And this one woman said to me, she goes, you know, I don't really know you that well. I don't know your background that well, but I believe God's given me a word for you. Do you mind if I share it with you, a message from God? And I said, no, sure, share it with me. And I remember this verbatim. She said this. She goes, this is what I believe God is saying to you. My son, fear not, for I am well pleased with you, and I'm going to make you a representative of many people from different lands. Well, what's, you know, again, I'm 21, got this rash on my arm, I'm going to die in a couple days, and now we can, you know. She goes, you know, I get the sense that that means in America. You know, in the United States, there's lots of different people groups. I went to the doctor over there. He gave me some cream. I put it on it, and it went away. I don't know what it was. George could probably tell me what it was, but because George's a medical expert here. If you ever have any problem, if you're dying, cardiac arrest, call George. He can take care of you. All day. He hasn't lost anyone all day. But it's young. It's only 11 o'clock in the morning. We got time. Came back home. My wife and I were dating, and about a year or so later, we got married in September of 1985. It'll be 29 years this year that we've been married. Boy, she is an amazing woman to live with me all that time, isn't she? And if you look at our kids, you think she's got to be a saint, especially our youngest son here. Sorry, Matt. He was the one playing guitar, in case you didn't know who he is. Later that fall, after we got married, they were having, the church we were a part of had these conferences. And actually, the same fella who was Pastor Mueller, who was speaking when I came to know Jesus, was there ministering to people then. And they had these prayer stations. I said, Adrian, let's go ask Pastor Mueller, tell him the story about being in India and what this message from God, maybe he could tell us what it is so we can start getting ready for it. So we went up, and we're sitting there, we're telling him the whole story, and he stops, and he prays for a minute, and he goes, you know what? God showed me what it is that you're to do. Yeah, I'm going, yeah, good. He goes, but he told me not to tell you. You're not ready for it yet. You can't handle it. Just let it happen. God will get you to where he needs you to be. You know, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Wait. You know, I want to, you know. But what could I say? I just, all right, we'll see what happens. Started working with Youth for Christ after that. Started volunteering in 1986. 1987, I started working with them full-time, kind of like what Alan and Christy are doing now. Alan's working with Youth for Christ Campus Life. And we were in a small group, and we were looking at these life verses. What's a verse that God wants to give you for your life that he'll continue to work through? And God gave me this verse. I guess I'm supposed to do how it would look if we tweeted it. Let's look at it real quick. We'll put up that. Don't be anxious about life. It's more than food and clothing. Worry won't add 1 hour to your life. Seek God's kingdom and righteousness first, and the rest will come. Matthew 6:25-34. What would Jesus tweet? It's kind of abbreviated sense, but let's look at the whole verse, and then I'll get back to telling my story a little bit, because this was amazing. This is the verse that God gave us as a family. It says, "So I tell you, don't worry about the food or drink you need to live, or about clothes you need for your body. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them, and you know that you are worth much more than the birds. You cannot add time to your life by worrying about it. And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the lilies that in the field grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that even Solomon with his riches was not dressed as beautiful as one of these flowers. God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. So you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. Don't worry and say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble on its own." So God kind of gave, as we're praying about this, going into ministry, gave these verses to us. And I got to tell you, when I first realized this was the verse God was giving us, these verses, I was disappointed. You know, I wanted like that one in Jeremiah 29 that I know the plans I have for you to prosper you. I mean, that's what I want. I wanted this prosperous stuff. I was like, because this kind of implies here that, hey, you know, Jay, you may be concerned about your food. You may be concerned about your drink. You may be concerned about clothes or where, you know, there's this hint there that, hey, you may be concerned, but don't worry about it. You know, I'd rather have all the stuff. Then I don't have to worry about that. Remember the first year I was working for Youth for Christ, made $11,000. I had my daughter, my wife, and I were living in an apartment on Hamilton Hill on State Street, and made $11,000. And somehow or another, we got through it. It's amazing how God took care of us. I look back. We've gone through some difficult times in our life, in our family, health-wise, financial-wise. We're without a car, and someone shows up and gives us a 4-year-old conversion van. You know, TV, all this stuff in a mic. Had a microwave in this thing. It's like, what? Remember this one Christmas season? We were hard up for money, because basically with Youth for Christ, I got what money came in for us. We got paid, and money didn't come in, you didn't get paid, and it was a tough time. Someone slipped through our front door. We had some gift certificates to Dwayne's Toyland. Remember Dwayne's Toyland out on State Street years ago? And it's like $300 worth of gift certificates in there. Some Price Chopper gift certificates and some cash. And it was like, what is this? And I was like, you know, God surprised us time and time again. Went through and we served a small church in Bellevue. Came over here, and we were kind of a small church here. I think the first Sunday that I came here, it'd be 10 years ago this Thanksgiving, we had like 25 people in church, all together, all one service. Last week in our three services, I think we had 160 people. I mean, we were small. And if you go back, and I think it was like 06 or 07, we were wondering, what is God doing here? There was like 10 of us meeting downstairs in the summer. We never got below double digits. We were wondering, what's going on? You know, how can we continue to do this? Some transitions began to take place in these groups. This other ministry I work with, we get pastors together in communities to pray and work together and dream together. What could God possibly do in our community if we came together corporately? And in that, we built a relationship with Pastor Eric Reamer in North Hills. And some of you are here today. You came over as we blended two churches together, it was really miraculous how that all happened and that it worked. And then Pastor Eric leaves us, and God sends us this young guy from Texas. Got to know him. He's doing some worship here, and he's telling about his vision. I'm thinking, oh, this is a great vision, coming up here, starting a church, wanting to see people who don't know Jesus, people far from Jesus, and bringing them to know Jesus. Asks me, hey, do you think we could partner together? And I said, well, I thought about that, but I don't want us to get in your way. Let's pray about it. And April of last year, we met as a board and decided that this is what we're to do. I remember Jason Fiat taking the keys and throwing them to Greg, saying, okay, here's the keys to the bus, drive. And we made Greg our lead pastor. A year ago this time, going through, again, a difficult transition, changing the name of the church, because the focus of the church, what we're about, is changing. God had been morphing us over the last 10 years so that we're no longer about how can we get more people so we can exist, to how can we tell other people about Jesus, because if they don't know him, where are they going to be? In this last year, over 65 people saying yes to Jesus. Amazing. Would have never dreamt that. Would have never. A lot of times I use that scripture at the end of services. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we could ask or imagine. 65 people in a year is much more than I'd ever think to ask God for. This year, Pastor Greg has asked God for one person a weekend. I think last weekend we had 5 people. Last night we had 2 more people. Is God doing something here? It's amazing. Few weeks ago, I was talking with John. John's here today, and I think we were at the party for someone. And he's going, Jay, what are we going to do? Because one of the things that when Greg came up here, his home church sent him here and sent him along with him a paycheck. That they said they're going to continue to do until September of this year. As a church, we're barely getting by. What are we going to do when they stop? John asked me, you thought about what's going to happen in September? And yeah. What are we going to do? I don't know. But I do know this. God will take care of us. I do know this. God will provide a way. After I was telling Pastor Greg about this, and about my conversation with John, and he goes, I haven't told anybody this. He goes, but when I was in Texas, my church told me that they're going to continue to do this through January. And in January, they're going to evaluate what they do from then on. I don't know what they're going to do. They might not do anything. But here we're looking at September as this time when we're going to be facing a huge deficit as a church. Now God's brought us another 4 or 5 months of provision. Is our God able? I think there's some keys in this. And I want you to know, this is something that I've experienced my life. It's never been the super huge surplus, but it's always been meeting all the needs. Not all the wants. You know, I went out there, you know, I told you I had that Volvo that I got rid of a while ago, and I love that Volvo. I know it had 260,000 miles on it, but I love that Volvo. I went and looked at a new Volvo out there. You know, if anyone puts, God puts it on your heart, you know, to buy a 2015 Volvo C70 convertible, I'll take it if you force me to take it. No, that's a want. That's not a need. God takes care of us. Probably be more of a distraction than anything else. And I want you to know, God has done it time and time again with me personally and my family. This verse gets into, this scripture gets into a couple things. And it reminds me of a story. There was this woman who decided that she wanted a pet. So she went to the pet store, and she's looking over all the pets. And she decides, I want to get a parrot. I want a talking parrot. So she buys this parrot. She buys the cage. She brings it home. And a week goes by. The parrot's not talking. she goes back to the pet store owner, and he goes, look, you sold me a defunct bird here. It doesn't speak. And he goes, well, do you got a mirror in the cage? And she goes, what? And he goes, yeah, they like company. They're very social. Get a mirror, and your bird will start talking. So she buys this little mirror, sticks it in the cage, and is going through. And you know, this bird's, another week goes by. Bird doesn't say a thing. She goes back to the pet store, and she goes, look, I bought the mirror, but he still doesn't say anything. He goes, well, do you have a swing? Because parrots like to feel relaxed. If they have a swing, they feel relaxed. They'll start talking. She goes, no, I don't have a swing. She goes, so she buys a swing. She goes home, puts a swing in the cage. The bird loves sitting on the swing, looking in the mirror. You know, still not talking. Finally, she goes back to the pet store. And she says to him, he goes, or she walks in, and the guy goes, is your pet speaking yet? And she goes, you know, he finally spoke. He finally spoke? Isn't he speaking anymore? And he goes, no. He's not with us anymore. He's not with you anymore. And he goes, no, he kind of fell over, and he laid on the bottom of the cage, and he looked up at me, and he says, don't they sell any pet food at that pet store? And he died. You laughed at that one. All right, now we can have church. See, it's important to have your priorities set. It's important. Okay, Marianne, shh. It's important to have your priorities set. If you go back and look at the last slide we look at, what did it say? It said, what did it say, Tripper? Last slide. Seek first God's kingdom. Putting first the priority on what needs to be the priority in our lives. This is Jesus speaking to us. This is God speaking to us. Seek first his kingdom and do what he wants to do and what he wants. Other scriptures, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And guess what? All these other things are added. I mentioned to that day, April 15th, 1983. It was the day that God really put on my heart to seek first his kingdom. I haven't done it perfectly. Not even close. But it was a conscious decision of seeking first God's kingdom. And you know what? He has taken care of us every step of the way. Do you know what last year was when we handed the keys to Greg and said, drive the bus, we changed the name. It was a conscious decision of us as a congregation moving to this thing of, God, we want what you want. We're going to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. We're going to do the things you want us to do. We know that it's your desire, God, that none would perish, that all would come to know Christ. So we're going to focus the vision of our church on that. We're going to seek first your kingdom. It's interesting, we don't really understand kings and queens and all that a whole lot. You know, we elect our officials and they think they're kings and queens. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. This kind of slipped out. They develop health care for us that's good for us, but they won't use it. I don't know. I'll leave that alone. Okay, forget about that. You know, the other thing they did, no, I'm not going to go any further with that. If there was a king and here coming to invade us, and we realized we didn't have the wherewithal to withstand them and defeat them, what are we going to do? We're going to make peace. We're going to send terms. We're going to try to. Jesus comes, and we're enemies of his. His kingdom approaches, and we repent. And we say, yeah, you're right. My way isn't right. And there's that first time that we really come to know Jesus, that we're turning away from our way of life, and we're going to live the way God wants us to live. And then there's all those other little times that we still go against God's ways. And he reminds us, and we say, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. and we repent again. We turn away again. He's constantly doing that. He's constantly bringing us to that point. It's called sanctification. It's this point where he's bringing us from one glory to another, making us more and more like Christ. He continues to do that because he's king. Whether you acknowledge it or not, that's who he is. He doesn't need me to acknowledge it to be it. That's who he is. And he tells us to seek first his kingdom. And when we start seeking first his kingdom, everything else lines up. The problem here is when we seek our kingdom. When we start seeking what we want above what God wants, we're putting our kingdom ahead of his. We're putting our ways ahead of his. We're in for trouble because he loves us, but he's going to bring us around to his way because he loves us. C.S. Lewis talks about the scripture, and he says, you know, we're to aim for the things of heaven. If we aim for the things of heaven, you know what? We get the earthly things. He goes, but if we aim for the things of earth, we get neither. And really, the question comes down to, what is it that we're longing for? What is it? Are we longing for the things of God? Or are we longing for things that I want, that you want? And I got to tell you, I've been walking with God for 42 years, and I still don't always know exactly everything God wants. I sometimes, these things creep in, things that I want, and I think, oh, gee, I want them. God must want them for me. I think one of the things that, like Gene will talk to us a lot of times, and I don't, about the psalm, forget not God's benefits. You know what happens when we forget God's benefits, what he's done in our life? We begin to forget God. When we forget God, we forget who we are in God. That's why the Jews, when in the Old Testament, you'll see that God did something miraculous in their life. What do? They stack stones on top of each other as a monument saying, this is what God has done in our lives. Remember that. See, we need to remember what God's done. I've had 42 years of watching God take care of me better than I can. Do I have to worry about tomorrow? Why? Because God's going to take care of me at that point too. I need to remember that. When I forget it, I'm trying to make it happen myself. I remember a number of years ago, my daughter turns 28 in a couple of weeks. And I know some of you just sighed going, wow, Jay, how could you have a daughter that old, you know? You look so young. We went to Florida when she was turning 8. We flew into Daytona Beach. And I gotta tell you, my daughter was walking on air. I mean, she was holding my hand and she was skipping my arms, going like up here and up here, and back and forth. And she is just happy skipping through the airport. I'm thinking about, I hope our luggage made it. It would be a bummer if our luggage didn't make it. Do they say bummer anymore today? Is bummer a word today? No. What would they say today, Joey? For those who are younger than me, you know what I mean by bummer? That's like a really bad thing. I'm trying to interpret here a little bit. Gee golly. I'm thinking about, I got to find the rental car. I got to find the hotel. I'm hungry. I'm thinking about all these things. Is my daughter thinking about those things? Not at all. Why isn't she thinking about it? She's got her dad's hand. Dad's going to take care of all those things. Folks, I want you to know, as we seek first God's kingdom, we do what he wants us to do because we want to honor him and bless him. We don't have to worry about these things. He takes care of us every step of the way. He'll take care of you. Don't have to be worrying about it. I love this verse now. I'm so thankful God gave me this verse. Because the remainder of my years, my Heavenly Father takes care of me. Maybe I should say the remainder of my days. I don't know. No man knows what tomorrow brings. We're not promised tomorrow. We're promised to walk with God today. And He says, I'll never leave you. No matter what you go through. And we've gone through hard things. You've gone through hard things. Some of you have gone through some really hard things. Sometimes it's we get far enough away, we look back and we see how God brought us through. He never left you, even though you thought He left you. This is what read on Facebook last night where Jesus was talking in this little cartoon thing. He goes, you see where there's only one set of steps behind you? That's where I was carrying you. You see the two long streaks? That's where I was dragging you, kicking and screaming. But I'm glad that He brings me, even when I'm kicking and screaming. Because He knows best. We have a Heavenly Father. He tells us not to be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. I'd like you to do something here, if you would. It's something, if you're with us regularly, you know we always do this. This is a time where I just ask you to kind of isolate yourself. Just kind of close your eyes, bow your head a little bit, and just focus on what God might be saying to you. Just make yourself alone. Everyone's closing their eyes and just listening to what God might be saying. Maybe you're here today and you never really experienced Jesus the way I've been talking about. Maybe you've gone to church before. But you never met Jesus. And as I'm talking you here, you're just kind of thinking, you know, I'd like to know Jesus like that. That's something you're sensing God saying to you. You know, that you'd like to talk about just knowing Him, experiencing Him. In a second, I'm just going to invite you to look up at me. Saying, you know, Jay, I wouldn't mind talking to someone about knowing Jesus. If that's you, would you just look at me and let's kind of say, Jay, I'd like to know that. I'd like to at least talk to somebody. Maybe you're here and you've known God for a while, but you've let these worries, these anxieties, these distractions come in because you've been consumed with the things of this world. You're going through a hard time and you're sensing that God wants to bring something different to you, a peace, a knowing that He's taking care of you every step of the way. Maybe you've experienced before and you got away from it, but you're saying, you know what? God, I want to respond to you. I want to draw back into that. I want you to be first. I want to seek first your kingdom. I want to do what you want me to do. If that's you, I'm just going to ask that if you might just raise your hand. And you're saying, that's where I'm at. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you, Lord, for how you're at work in our lives individually and even corporately as a congregation and even amongst other churches in this community. I thank you, Lord, for what you tell us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And all these other things, you'll take care of them. Because as our Heavenly Father, you know what we need. We can trust you to give us what we need, even when we don't know what we need. Lord, today we rededicate our lives to you. We give you ourselves again. Lord, there's a sense of repentance where the places that we haven't been following after you, we turn away from that and we turn towards you.